So what do you want to know about WordPress?
Well, actually, there's two areas. I don't know. I might be one. Maybe I'll get a private session with you tonight. That'd be great.
Yeah, who knows? Who knows? You know what? Before you start, I want to show you something. Have you got a WordPress blog up already?
No, I'm in the process. Actually, I'm trying to use it more as a CMS system.
Okay.
And I just found a theme called Company One.
Mm-hmm.
Looks pretty good. So I've got it loaded. I've got the themes up. But okay. I'm really looking at using it as, you know, the blog will be there, but I really want to use it as a CMS system for the entire site and kind of get this thing dialed in.
Okay.
What do you think about that generally? I know Joomla is also a lot of people.
Well, yeah,
it
really depends on a couple things. One is what you want to add to the site after you've got the content in. And then the second one is how you're going to protect the content, or if you're going to protect the content at all.
Yeah. Actually, one of the applications we're looking at is a membership site.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to lead into a second set of questions. But you can protect directories within a WordPress site, I understand. In fact,
yes,
I think McLaren just came out with a program that lets you at multiple levels of protection.
Yep.
And I may be getting into a business where I help people, you know, consultants and coaches set up their websites.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd like to use something simple, and WordPress really looks like it's about the easiest one out there.
Yes, it is.
And it sounds like it's very search engine friendly. It doesn't use
very search engine friendly. Yeah.
Yeah, and it doesn't use embedded tables, which I guess Joomla does, which can really start to degrade.
Yeah. Yes and no. Here's the real question you have to ask yourself as you get into this, in my opinion, anyway.
Okay.
Is how or what are you going to, you know, if you're going to create a membership site, what other applications, tools, whether they be interactive or not, do you need to add to the membership site?
Uh-huh.
Because here's what happens. If you want to use WordPress is very good at managing content, but it is not extensible, or it is not easy to extend with the same, you can't extend it easily to the same level of functionality as Joomla, for example, if you want to make a highly interactive, multiple application kind of membership site. So I'll give you an example. If you want to add a really, really robust discussion forum that's integrated tightly with WordPress, it's not the easiest thing in the world to do. If you want to add a download manager, there's not a good WordPress download manager. If you wanted to go in and do things like having, what would be another good example? If you wanted to add stuff like a photo gallery or any additional things like that, there's thousands of plugins that are tightly integrated into Joomla that allow for a robust membership site. There are some plugins for WordPress at this time, but they're not nearly as robust, or they're not, you know, if you had, if you were going to have 100 members or 200 members, WordPress, not a problem. If you wanted to have 10,000 members, I wouldn't do it on WordPress.
You wouldn't? Okay.
No. No, not when you're getting to manage the user tables and all of the additional membership issues that come on, there gets to be some big problems. And here's the big thing. Have you decided on a billing system?
No, there's an opportunity that's come up, and we may move right into about 10,000 customers right off the bat.
Yeah, see, I have a course that's in there. Have you got a membership, or did you just get a hold of the number?
No, I do. You know Andrew Collier?
Yep.
Yeah, I signed up through via him a while back, and I actually was having problems. You may remember me. I'm the follicle challenge one. It was
yes, okay,
having a hard time doing the credit card thing probably a year or two ago.
Yeah. Okay.
And so finally you walked me through it on your on the site.
Okay, great.
So
great.
Yeah, I'm not your lifetime membership.
Yeah. So here's what I've always said about membership sites. Pick the billing system first and then do everything after that. Because the biggest trouble that I've ever had with membership sites is managing who has paid for access and should still have access to what content. Unless you've got people that you can, you know, hire, or you've got it set up so that you can have someone that manages that whole part of your business. But, you know, my personal preference is pick your billing system first so that you can manage all of your subscriptions and memberships and payments and all of those things, and then see what content management system plugs into that billing system.
All right, so, okay, let's start at that end and then work backwards. What would you recommend for a billing system? I have a one shopping cart account, but I haven't really done much with it. I'm looking at going to AWeber.
You mean for mail?
For email, but you know, I'm trying to look at all these different components that have to come together, right?
Yeah.
And I've heard good things about AWeber for email. I hear it's really good for that.
Yeah.
And it's pretty ubiquitous, and there's a lot of people out there using it, so it's pretty easy to get help on it.
Mm-hmm.
As far as the payment system and the shopping cart and all that, you know, we're probably going to end up having, if this thing takes off, if this one particular project involved with goes, we're going to need a membership site. We're going to be setting up joint ventures and having, you know, digital downloads and possibly physical product too, where we'd have to, you know, get that fulfillment done.
Yeah.
We're going to have, you know, we may move right into having customers right off the bat.
Yeah. My personal preference is a member.
Okay. Membership part.
Yeah, well, it handles all of the billing as well, and it can handle the affiliates and the email if you wanted it to.
Okay.
Technically, it can. And it works either with WordPress and or Joomla.
Okay.
So my personal preference is to use a member if you're going to do anything with membership sites. And if you want to do, there is a two-tier affiliate system, a rudimentary one built into it that you can use as the default one. There is an autoresponder built into it as a default one. And you can hook it. There's some little plugins. They're $40 each to hook it into WordPress and or Joomla. Like Andrew's got his set up now with Joomla.
Okay.
So that's my preferred setup.
Now, A-Member is separate from AWeber and separate from One Shopping Cart, right? It's a total into itself.
That's okay. It's a piece of software that you purchase once and that you own.
How much is it?
Right now, I believe it's $179, and that comes with 6 months of support.
Okay. And then you just you put it on your server and it handles all the
connections
and everything?
Okay. Yep.
Intriguing. So tell me about, if we go with this A member,
mm-hmm.
It sounds like we could go with WordPress or Joomla. You said
that's
that
correct.
Once you start getting into a high number of memberships that WordPress is going to just start to
It will be limiting unless you just want to do like posts and if you just want to put posts in, like straight content, WordPress is good for that. But if you wanted to, let's say for example, you wanted to, there may be a plugin I'm not aware of, but just look at the management of content, for example, in WordPress. If you're familiar with WordPress, you have categories and you have posts in categories.
Uh-huh.
Okay, and you can have as many categories as you want, and you can have as many posts that you want. Now, if you look at Joomla, for example, Joomla adds a whole additional layer to the top of that particular one. So think of it this way. Let's say you've got WordPress, think of it this way. You've got one cabinet with one drawer. And in that drawer, you have a whole bunch of file folders. Those are the categories, right?
Mm-hmm.
And in each file folder, you may have a whole bunch of articles, and they're just organized in that one drawer by the categories or the file folders, right?
Okay.
So that's all that you have in WordPress. In Joomla, for example, or something that's a little more of a robust content management system, you have a complete additional level. So instead of having one drawer with file folders and articles in those file folders, you can have as many drawers as you want. You have a whole cabinet. So it adds a complete additional level to the way that the content can be managed. So you have sections, categories, and articles in a Joomla kind of system, whereas WordPress you have categories and articles.
So it gives you basically another third.
That's right.
Way to cut through the data.
Exactly, and organize it, you know, slice it, dice it, do whatever you want with it.
What about difficulty of use?
It's harder. Joomla's definitely harder to use. Definitely harder to use and harder to set up. You know, for the users, if you can log into a site, you're basically logged into the site. And you know, what do you think the biggest problem with most membership sites is? The biggest support issue.
Getting in.
Yeah, usernames and passwords. People either forget them or don't know what they used or can't remember an email address that they use or a username that they. That's generally the biggest problem.
Okay.
Unfortunately. So it's like, you know, if you look and you get 100 service calls over a period of time, half the time 50% of them have something to do with a username and password.
So does Joomla work with themes as WordPress does, where you can change the look and feel by just saying, okay, I want to go to this template instead of that one?
Absolutely.
And with it, you could set templates up for, say, most burning question pages and for...
There's FAQ plugins that you can install in a Joomla site that are specific to doing FAQs.
Well, no, I don't want to do FAQs, MBQs, most burning questions. So people.
Most burning questions. Same idea, where you want to give your users the ability to post a question.
Yeah, and sign up and actually get onto it.
That's right. That's right.
Get so into the database. Okay.
Yeah, you'd be able to do something like that.
Okay. Here's a question moving into going back to this membership site, but on the bigger level.
Yeah.
We're putting in a proposal, and what I'm looking for is possibly a company that could handle all of the, call it the web-based work on this thing.
Yeah.
And someone that could actually work as like a, you know, a project manager on it too.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know some companies that can do that kind of stuff, or?
Well, you know, for example, we can set up Joomla sites to get them the basic functionality, plugins, extensions configured and set up. That's something that we offer, but we don't specifically offer the ongoing maintenance and administration of the site afterwards. However, I know there are some sites that are sort of popping up and people that are doing that kind of work. The other thing that there is you're familiar with Elance or Rent-A-Coder?
I know Elance. I don't know Rent-A-Coder.
Okay, well, there's one called Joomlance.
Really?
Yeah. So it's the same idea.
Joomlance, okay.
Yeah, or Joomlance or Joomlancer. I can't remember which one. Hang on. It's not Joomlancer. I think it's just Joomlance. Yeah, it's Joomlance. Nope. Where did it go?
Joomlance.com. Joomlance.
No, there's one called Joomlancers. Maybe it's Joomlancers. Yes, it's Joomlancers.
Okay.
Joomlancers.
It's like an e-lance, just
yeah.
Straight for Joomla.
Yeah.
Okay, so here's the big question then. There is a, where do I start? A friend of mine has been working with a company that has a direct marketing traditional media model that they've been using, and they want to try to move this thing to a, or they're interested about in moving this thing to a complete digitally based delivery system.
Yeah.
So the proposal I put together is to, here's how you could do that. And I've used some of your, you know, some of your knowledge in putting that together. And if we get this thing, we're going to already pick up, I think, 11,000 people that are paying $40 a month to get the hard copy newsletters.
Okay.
And what I've proposed is a way that they can bring, and that's all they've delivered, is just these hard copy newsletters and PDF versions of it. And I see this whole idea of bringing in, you know, creating teleseminars and ask campaigns and the whole infopreneuring model to this niche. And this niche is getting pretty hot right now. I don't want to speak about it over the phone.
That's fine.
It's a recording. But so what I'm needing is, I've never done anything on that scale before. I've taken, you know, Matt Basics classes, Stu's, tell us some of our secrets. I'm with you, but this thing would be pretty big to get going. It'd be more than I can handle on my own.
Yeah,
I don't have
you need
experience.
A team to make that happen.
I need a team, and I need a guide. I need a mentor, whatever. Yeah. How you? Is that something that, well, A, do you know people that could do that? And B, is that something that might be of interest to you?
Well, I think we can talk about that specifically with me, do it offline.
Yeah.
We'll do that after the call, and I don't have anyone, you know, that I can think of right now that would probably fit the bill out of the bag kind of thing with that. But there's obviously some bigger issues there that have to be addressed before you do something like that. Now, how are they doing the billing for these people now?
You know, I don't know. I think they just take a one shot credit card deal and they run
in a batch,
like,
and that's it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're just doing year-long memberships at this point.
Oh, they are? Okay.
Yeah. So it's a one-time hit. And then, but they may just hand this thing over to her because they've been specializing in another niche where they're having deeper success rates, although now with the economy going the way it is.
Yeah, it's changing.
Yeah, could become really good.
Yeah. Okay.
Now I'm putting.
You have access? Here's the other question. Do you have access to the existing data, like the credit cards and any of the digital data at this point?
Well, we would get that if we need it.
Okay.
We're in direct contact with the company about doing that. So yeah.
Okay, that's cool.
Yeah. So yeah, this sounds like an offline.
Yeah. So we can have a chat after, and I'll ask some more questions, and then either direct you somewhere or say, you know, this is something that I would be interested in looking at further. How's that?
Sounds perfect.
Okay,
good. Can we do that after tonight's call? Or
Yeah, just send me an email to james@jamesmaduke.com and with a phone number and a good time to get a hold of you, and it'll be tomorrow sometime.
And it's maduk.com,
that's
right?
Yeah, james@jamesmaduke.com.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, okay.
I think I heard another caller come on, so.
Yeah, I think so.
I'll hand it over.
Okay, perfect. Is that you, Jan? Who came on, anyone? Someone quietly.
Huh, okay.
That happens. I'll show you something really neat. Just talking about the reason I thought it might be Jan is you're online right now.
Yeah, I can get online.
Yeah, okay. Look, do a Google search on a person's name. The first name is Jan, and the last name is Yuill. It's Y-U-I-L-L.
Y-U-L-L?
Yeah, Y-U-I-L-L, sorry.
organizations a lot of Yule associates?
Yeah. Now, the thing that's kind of interesting is Jan's a member, and I just did a little video on this today. Look below, you'll see there's Organizations Alive as a second one underneath. Organizations Alive.
Oh,
and on the Google result page.
Oh, okay, on the Google. Okay, I was over on Organizations Alive. Okay.
Yeah. See the first one? YuleAssociates.com?
Yeah, and then I see johnyule.com.
Yeah, exactly. How old do you think that blog is?
I have no idea.
6 days.
Serious?
Yep.
Well, it is her website, so if you...
Well, the thing that's interesting is you've got something, first of all, that's indexed in 6 days. But if you do, for example, and here's just an example of some search engine stuff that you get into with blogs and even with Joomla. If you do a search on Yule's tools, when it's Yuill's tools,
okay,
and do a Google search on that.
About Yuill's tools, okay.
Yeah.
Just get it.
That's okay. You'll notice that the blog already comes up ahead of the main site that's been there for years.
Okay.
And there's some other neat stuff here. And again, the only reason I'm talking about this is because we're recording this. And one of the other neat things that you have to realize is when you start doing, you can make your WordPress blog search engine friendly as well as making your Joomla site search engine friendly. But if you do a search for Yuill's tools and you take a look at the actual extensions, of the text extensions of the URLs, you'll see that the way that Google prefers it is if you just keep the keywords in the URL titles, the actual URL links. The closer you have the actual phrase in the URL, the higher you'll end up ranking.
Uh-huh.
So you can do some really, really neat stuff with this, which is nice, being able to get stuff indexed very, very quickly and start getting traffic to your sites back and forth. And that's just strictly with WordPress. And again, this site is what, I think it's 6 days, maybe 7 days old now.
Okay.
And it's already getting indexed and already getting traffic.
And this is a WordPress site?
Yeah, it's a WordPress blog.
Okay.
Again, and using one of the documents I have in the site is a thing called Surf and Subscribe, and it's for people starting out. It wouldn't apply to you specifically in the situation that you're in, but it makes it very, very easy to start getting some traffic to your site, more importantly, getting the links that you need into your blog so that you get indexed quickly and picked up quickly. So Jan did a really good job with that, and it's paid off in the first 7 days. She's already starting to get the stuff that she needed, so that's kind of nice to see.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that's, you know, there's a market, organizational development. You know, it's not the sexiest thing around. But there's people in every market, which is kind of nice. So what other markets are you in now?
Well, I'm just coming online. I just had a medical thing that I've gone through that's finally settled down.
Mm-hmm.
And now that that's stabilized and all the investments have tracked with the economy.
Yeah. Time to get back to work?
It's time to come out of the gate. So my background, I was a photojournalism major, so I worked for 20 years in traditional media.
Okay.
And then I worked for 7 years in Silicon Valley as first inside sales and outside sales and then, coding and
mm-hmm.
then information architecture and content development. The last place I worked was at Cisco Systems.
Oh, neat.
And their advanced services sales force, together their intranet site.
Mm-hmm.
But that was a while ago. So
yeah.
I've got three projects. One is that one I was just telling you about.
Yeah.
Another one is helping get coaches and consultants into intrapreneuring.
Now, let me ask you, if we could stop there for a second, let me ask you a question. Sure. What percentage of the coaches and consultants do you think are actually infopreneuring at this point?
It depends on where you draw the line. You know, a lot of them, a fair number of them have websites. Very few of them are actually creating content on a regular basis and looking at creating digital products.
Are you serious?
That's my guess.
Yeah.
The ones I keep running across, they have websites, but they don't tend to have much else going on. Maybe you're running into a different group than I am.
No, like it's hot and cold. It's hot and cold. You know, most of the people that I end up talking to are pretty savvy at this point. But you know, I was just wondering what actual percentage of the people are actually, you know, have their head are in the game kind of thing.
I'm wondering if the ones that you run into, they've already probably gone through some sort of filtering process to end up being in contact with you.
Yeah, exactly.
So you're kind of getting the ones that have already risen through the, let's call them the early adopters.
Yeah, they've spent money already and not sold anything.
Well, interesting, and one of the things I want to use on the site is have you ever heard of the Enneagram?
The what-a-gram?
It's called the Enneagram. It's a personality typing system.
No, I haven't.
It's really fascinating. I spent a lot of time in the Bay Area, and it really started here, but it breaks the personality down into 9 different types.
Okay.
And 2 of those types tend to be the most successful at business. The 3s and 8s. 3s are the, so if you just go around, it's like type 1 is the perfectionist, 2 is the nurturer, 3 is the achiever, 4 is the tragic romantic, 5 is the observer, 6 is sort of the loyal skeptic or devil advocate, 7 is the sort of adventurer or epicure, 8 is the challenger, and 9 is the mediator.
Yeah, so who does best?
3s and 8s tend to do the best. People like Steve Ballmer and Larry Ellison are 8s. They challenge. They love to be met with challenge, and they just charge at life, and they like a good battle. And 3s are the achievers.
Yeah.
They're all in it for appearance.
Yeah.
So those 2 tend to be the most successful.
Hmm.
Different reasons, but, you know, different underlying behaviors, but kind of for the same reasons, because they really charge ahead.
Yeah.
And
what percentage of coaches are 3s and 8s?
Not a lot, but the ones I like to work with, I think I've, through some coaches that are working in Silicon Valley, I think I can get a pretty steady stream of 3s and 8s.
Yeah.
And draw them. You know, it doesn't mean that the others can't do this. It just means they're not going to make as much money at it, probably.
Yeah.
But 3s and 8s are great to work with because they're like, let's go.
Yeah.
So, anyway, I've penciled out this potential 7-step process to take people through. You know yourself, know your customer, get your products together, your infrastructure together, and, you know, to take them step 1 to 7, and I would see doing a lot of affiliate products all the way along the way.
Mm-hmm.
And
so what you're talking about is the hub and spoke model.
The what?
You're talking about my hub and spoke model.
Yeah. Yeah, specific to coaches and consultants, but yeah.
Do you need any domains for that?
Might. I think I'm pretty set, but I'm always open to talks.
Well, no, because I have Internet Marketing for Coaches, Internet Marketing for Consultants, Internet Marketing for Speakers. I have Web Marketing for Coaches, Web Marketing for Consultants, Web Marketing for Speakers.
Oh, we'll have to talk.
I have all those. I just haven't had time to do anything with them. Because it's the same process that I teach, but you just put it into a different market.
Mm-hmm.
It's a plug and play.
And then the third one I'm looking at is I have a person I used to work with in Atlanta who's developed a whole system for innovation,
mm-hmm.
pretty fascinating. She was sort of a golden girl in advertising in the Southeast for many years, and she's developed, she's kind of cracked the code to creativity in terms of innovation. And she's creating some web-based tools, and I'm looking at helping her get her web presence and getting her, you know, really with content, getting out there and driving traffic to her site.
Oh, cool.
So those are the three projects I'm on right now. And
So what about your own stuff? Do you have any of your own content or your own material? Or do you
I don't have anything up right now, no. I'm coming out of the gates now.
Do you have do you have your own blog set up with your own name?
I don't yet.
Why not?
Well, I just had a talking about the medical stuff. I have glaucoma pretty seriously.
How much is it affecting your computer use?
So far, not too bad, but I've lost like 90% of the vision in my right eye and about 60% of my left.
Okay.
So it's forcing me into a situation where it's, you know, I've got to start working.
Okay.
And I like this stuff, and I'm really motivated now.
Yeah.
That's the
Do you have a microphone on your PC hooked up?
I've got the, you mean like just so I can do like a Skype call?
Well, anything. Can you start recording yourself? You know, have you got Camtasia set up?
I don't have Camtasia. I have a Sennheiser mic. I have, and I've got the webcam, the Logitech 9000.
Okay,
webcam.
That's enough. That's more than enough.
And, and I've got Sony sound, what is it called? You know, the audio.
Sony program. Vegas, yeah.
Not Vegas, no.
It's the one. It's the one that does audio only, but it is Vegas without the video tracks.
No, this is a different one. This is a Soundforce, Sony.
Soundforce, yeah. Yeah, technically it is Vegas. It's the same video one. They just don't have the video tracks with it.
Oh, okay.
But it's the same interface. It's the same underneath the hood.
So I need to get Camtasia.
You don't have to. You know, and the reason I'm saying that is because if you do get it, that's fine, get it. But I would start capturing in audio all of the stuff that you're doing and or just narrate what you're doing instead of having to type it or write it.
Mm-hmm. What's the Dragon software, naturally speaking?
Dragon Dictator, whichever one is, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. I have a copy of that, too. I never really trained it well enough to work properly for myself. But, you know, one of the other things, and I think I spoke to Andrew about this, is there's the Turk service at Amazon, the Mechanical Turk service. It's part of the Amazon Web Services, and it's just an example of one. But I know that Andrew got transcriptions of teleclasses and stuff that he did. And it was like, you know, $75 for an hour of transcription.
Okay.
So he ends up, you know, he talks for an hour, and he's got a 60-page, you know, or 40-page or 50-page book.
Okay.
So, you know, if you can, and I'm just thinking out loud here, you know, even if you don't have, you are doing all of these other projects, the actual process that you go through while you're doing it, I would try and capture it.
Yeah, I've been keeping a journal.
Yeah.
As I do it. I type actually pretty fast. I can type about 120 words a minute. So.
That's fast.
Yeah.
I heard you typing in the background here while we've been talking, so.
Yeah. I can basically type as fast as people can talk if
good.
I'm on a good keyboard. Journalism days.
Yeah. Yeah, that'll do it.
That and lousy handwriting.
Yeah. Yeah. I can barely write now. I so rarely write. Scary, scary. You know what's funny, and I was trying to explain this to someone, that you, just with keyboards, talking about keyboards, and I was trying to tell my kids that where the actual QWERTY keyboard came from. Do you know that story?
You know, I think I've heard it, but it's not based on logic. It's
The DORVAC, the DORVAC keyboard is based on logic and testing.
Right, yeah.
But the QWERTY isn't.
Where did it come from?
They put the letters that way because when they first created typewriters, people were typing too fast and the keys were getting stuck. So they screwed up the letters so that the typist would have to slow down and that the the keys wouldn't get stuck.
No kidding. So it's actually an anti-speed.
Exactly.
Sign.
Exactly. You know, and I was trying to explain to my kids, you know, it's just because you were talking about journalism and typing. I was trying to explain to my kids what a typewriter was. What's a typewriter? And, you know, you laugh, and I was saying the one thing that my mom forced me to do in high school was, is take typing. And I look back at it now, and I go, thank God she taught, you know, I took typing. Because keyboarding skills, the kids, you know, the kids are heavily up on it and into it. But I was saying, yeah, I had to take typing class on typewriters. And they were going, what are you talking about?
And I just went into a friend's office the other day. She works in traditional media advertising, and I hadn't seen her in 20 years. And I looked, and she had a typewriter on her desk.
Did she really?
And I looked, and I said, oh, my God. Is that what I think it is?
Yeah.
And it was a Selectric.
Was it really the one with the ball?
Yeah, and that was a great machine in its time.
Yeah, no kidding.
Years ahead, but I asked her, can I just, like, touch it and type something on it? She said,
exactly.
Sure. It sounds like, God, here's a conversation I'd love to have with you. So I've got these three different fronts going on, and it's like, where to start?
Mm-hmm.
Where to start? So the one I'm pushing on is this proposal with this site that's already got all the memberships. What I need to come up with is pricing on, again, this is probably something I should do offline on that.
Yeah, well, pricing is a whole different kettle of fish because it varies from market to market. There's no set rules for pricing. You know, some people who are real avid marketers say is price what you can charge.
Yeah, they want a proposal, and they want to see prices in there.
Yeah. That's something. There's no set fast rule for that one, I don't think. And that's a very tough question. And have fun with that one. I wish that was one I could give you a real simple answer to, but but it doesn't work that way. Pricing is always a pain in the ass. I still play around with it. You know, usually, in most cases, you've had a chance to test it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you can position yourself with pricing. But if you're doing a quote for a business that you're not already in and haven't had the opportunity or the mechanism to test, you know, I think it can become cumbersome. And then you got to take a look and say, well, what the existing market offline, where is it, and what's going to happen, and how much of a percentage are we going to lose in transition? And you know, the other thing that comes across just with pricing is stuff about your infrastructure. And I'll give you an example. You know, you get some people, you know, who maybe are business people and or knowledgeable offline, but as soon as you put them online, the price of converting them in terms of educating them how to do things like make a, you know, get a PayPal account or make a credit card. Like, I still have people that I know that have never bought anything online. And that varies from market to market, right, and a demographic to demographic. So you have to, these are things that I think you have to sort of keep in the back of your mind. You know, you may say, wow, they're doing great offline, and you know, it's if it's a whole bunch of kids who have only know online, then that's one thing. But if it's middle-aged, you know, people who are coming from the offline world or just getting ready to retire or looking for something else and are not in the internet age per se, half the battle's educating them about how to do what we take for granted online.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, so we lose a certain percentage of them, although they're kind of locked into a year contract already, so they're not going to drop off right away unless they take a real preemptive action.
Yeah.
And they're doing,
well, it's only the renewal that you have to worry about then, right?
Yeah, and it's also a certain number of them are actually doing downloadable PDF files at this point instead of a hard copy. So I think they're that far along with at least 80% of their audience.
Yeah.
they just haven't gone to creating a whole different paradigm in how they interact with the information and create it and query and survey and, you know, micro-niche it instead of just doing a shotgun blast to really laser in on, because it's a pretty broad market. And and it's really timely now given what the economy is doing. That's what's so cool about it. So it's a great opportunity. I think what I'd love to do with you is be able to do an offline conversation. I can show you the proposal because I've actually got it up online.
Okay.
And
well, send me the email. Send me the email like we talked about earlier, and then I'll have a boo at it and give you a shout either way.
Okay.
Okay.
That would be great.
Okay, no problem. Who else came on the phone? Did someone else come on that's going to raise their voice? Not this week. We're getting too close to Christmas, I think. Okay, that's cool.
Where should I get Camtasia? Where's a good place to get that?
Well, techsmith.com is where you can get it. T-E-C-H-S-M-I-T-H, TechSmith. That's the manufacturer.
Tech.
I don't know if they have an affiliate program or something like that. I'm not entirely sure. So.
Okay. So Camtasia, that's the one you do. That's where you capture the screen capture, right?
And the audio. And or the audio. And it also does PowerPoint presentations very well. So there's a plug-in that ties in directly to PowerPoint. So you can narrate your PowerPoint presentation, and it will capture the PowerPoint presentation and your voice.
And then you could alternate by putting the PowerPoint up and then maybe your, you know, of yourself.
Yeah, I believe you can. They also have a feature which is called picture-in-picture. So with your Sony or with your Logitech little webcam, you can actually do the PowerPoint presentation and have your mug in one of the corners, for example.
Okay.
If you wanted to do it that way.
And if you used a member, you would not need... What are you recommending for a shopping cart? Let's go that way.
Well, if you, a member is a shopping cart. A member is a complete shopping cart on its own.
Okay.
So and it even does have a plug-in available for one shopping cart that ties the two of them together. So that if you sell something in one shopping cart, it'll actually set the permissions in a member that you're using to protect content in a member, in a membership site, for example.
But you could use a member for complete digital delivery of
absolutely, products. Absolutely.
And it would permissions base it, and it does the billing.
Yes.
Takes care of the transaction.
Yeah. You'd need some kind of payment gateway, of course, like Authorize.net or PayPal or any of the other, you know, common ones.
I've got a merchant account already. So.
Yeah, that's fine. You're good.
Okay. And then what about? Is it? You said it has an autoresponder system built in.
It has a rudimentary autoresponder built into it. Yes. And what I mean by that is it allows you to send both text or HTML messages in a sequence to people based on what they purchased or where they are what they've either sort of subscribed to or logged into. So, yeah, and you can put as many messages as you want into the series. What it doesn't do well is allow you to have people either, you know, cascading from one autoresponder to another autoresponder or easily having people on multiple autoresponders when they get started, for example, things that AWeber would do. Or My Small Biz Mail, which is our autoresponder service, for example.
Okay. Can you glue the two together fairly well?
AWeber does not glue with a member, but ours, My Small Biz Mail, does glue with a member.
Okay.
There was a plug-in for AWeber and a member, but it doesn't work, and they've taken it off the market at this particular point in time. But ours is tied seamlessly to a member if you were using it.
Work can I find out more information about that?
If you just you can open up a trial account at mysmallbizmail.com. You can open up a trial account. It's a demo account, 30-day demo account.
Okay.
And actually, there's a squeeze page on the front of that. If you just go to index2.html instead of index.html, you'll get to the second page.
Okay. And does yours have it'll
yes.
create code for
yes.
For forms and most burning questions and
if you were going to do forms and stuff, yes. All the HTML code, yes. And it also you can also actually have ours as an RSS feed as well.
Okay.
So you can actually have an autoresponder RSS feed, which is kind of neat. And I think AWeber just added that.
Well, I'll have to look at both.
Yeah. The difference is price. Big difference in price.
Okay. And yours, I'm assuming, is the better deal?
Way better. Well, just to give you an example, ours is $20 a month for up to 10,000 subscribers. And if you were going to do that at AWeber, it would cost you... Where's the pricing? There we go. For 10,000 subscribers would cost you $70 a month.
Okay. Yours does HTMLs and, you know, nice different templates and all that?
Yeah, we have some. We have, actually, I have about 40 or 50 templates you can choose from. They're not built into the interface, but I have them as a separate thing that you can use. However, having said that, we do have a really, really nice HTML editor that's there as well. And I like it quite a bit better than the one at AWeber, and I know because I still have an account at AWeber.
So there'd be no reason to have one shopping cart if one were to go with My Small Biz Mail.
Technically, no.
And if you had a member, My
yep.
Small Biz Mail, and what
and
about?
What I would do, my here's the other piece of the puzzle, is if you wanted a really robust, fully featured, affiliate program, I would use one called Post Affiliate Pro. That's the one that I use, and it's from QualityUnit.com.
Okay. Post Affiliate Pro.
Yeah.
Okay. Whew. So you would recommend Joomla, My Small Biz Mail, A Member, and Post Affiliate Pro.
Yep.
Okay.
That's pretty close to what I have set up. The only difference is I have A Member, but I don't use it too much anymore. The only reason being is because the one thing that a member does not do is manage hosting. And personally, what we have is we're a hosting company.
And once you actually have a hosting company yourself?
Yeah.
Or is it, yeah, under some, okay.
Yeah, like My Small Biz web hosting. See, the what I wanted to get set up is a one-stop shop. So, for example, we have My Small Biz Show, which is the internet radio station that I have, that allows anyone who wants to broadcast their own radio station.
Okay.
So we have that service. We have the My Small Biz Mail service, which is a fully functional, great autoresponder. We have the hosting, which is unlimited domains, unlimited, you know, websites, unlimited bandwidth and storage, and that's there. Plus, we have the My Small Biz University, where all of the information is to tell you how to use this stuff and to do stuff like start blogs and get ranked first on Google and build lists and do joint ventures and all of those pieces. There's over 1,000 videos in there now. Then I have another service in beta called My Small Biz Tracking, which is similar to Google Analytics, but it's in real time. So, for example, if you want to know who's on your site now, you can use our service and not have to wait 24 hours like Google Analytics. And that one's in beta.
Okay.
And then we have the coaching calls that we do like this, teleclasses, seminars that we do. So I wanted it to be a one-stop shop where people could get some help, have access to all the tools that they need, and be able to ask some questions when stuff doesn't work the way it's supposed to work. Because that always happens. Always.
All right. I need to do some probing around. Obviously, I haven't been attentive to my membership with Small Biz U.
Nope.
So
we, you know, really, the all that you have access to all the information that's there, and you'll always have access to it. You have access to all the coaching calls. You can come on Mondays and Wednesdays. Anytime we do a teleclass, you're welcome to come on. If you wanted to get, you know, access to the mail program, it's $20 a month. And if you wanted to do the radio station, it's $20 a month. And the radio station is kind of cool, and it's actually something I'm going to be using more personally now. It's going to be spending more time broadcasting, but it works exactly the same as a live radio station, using recorded information that you have in playlists. But you can schedule stuff for certain times. You can do heavy rotation, light rotation. You can do station breaks. Anything like that can be set up into it, and it just sits in place.
And then you can cut in and then do live?
On this particular setup, no. But what you can do is you can schedule, for example, you know, on Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, you can have a particular show or recording go on as a live show. It starts at 1 o'clock. And it's a simulated live, right? And the nice thing is if someone misses it, they can't come at 1:15 and then start at the beginning. If they come at 1:15, they come 15 minutes into it. They've missed the 15 minutes, right?
Mm-hmm.
So there's that element of scarcity where you can actually control what people have access to using time. You can make some of the content on demand so that they have the ability to just listen to that specific piece if they want to, or you can have it so it's, you know, you tune in and you hear what's being broadcast, when it's being broadcast, and if you miss it, you miss it. So it can be used as a front end to a lot of things, which is kind of nice.
Okay. And that would be a part of your website, I assume, like you could click.
Yeah, there's all sorts of little lines of script that you can put in that have it show up, you know, as a link on any website anywhere where you can put, you know, what just played, what's going to play. You can do some really neat things with that.
Okay. Well, I think I'm about questioned out. I not totally, but
enough to think about for a little bit.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm going to be here on Wednesday again.
What time?
Wednesday we do at 1 p.m. in the afternoon.
What time zone? Is that Eastern?
It's Eastern Standard Time.
Okay.
Sometimes we get people on from the UK and from Australia and stuff, so it's a little bit more difficult when it's either the middle of the night or the middle of the morning for them. So.
Okay. So that would be 10 a.m. my time.
Yeah. You're still on in San Francisco?
Yeah, right now I'm in Sacramento. Yeah.
Sacramento, okay.
Bay Area's base camp.
are things bad there right now? Are people feeling it? Yeah.
Yeah, they are.
The real estate was quite hot there, was it not?
Yeah, Marin's doing a little better than other areas. Sacramento's really taking a hit. I'd say it's dropped 35%.
Yeah.
Maybe 40% in certain neighborhoods. And, you know, the more desirable areas, Palo Alto, Hillsborough, the good parts of San Francisco. Marin in general. They've all dropped, but not 30-35%.
Yeah, I was watching a thing actually on CNN today where they, I don't know what where they got the stat, but they said it's something like 23 or 27% of Americans now owe more on their house than it's worth.
Than it's worth, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, we really, they gave away money.
Yeah.
They just, they made it too easy and people bought into it, and now we're seeing the results of that.
Yeah, someone's going to pay the price, unfortunately.
Taxpayers are.
Yeah.
And the bailout. Yeah. It is what it is.
Yeah, it is what it is. Just send me an email to that email address, and I'll get in touch with you tomorrow. How's that?
Yeah, that sounds good.
Okay.
And I'll show you, if you want, I could go ahead and send you the link so you can look at the proposal.
Yeah, that's fine. That's fine. That would obviously help me ahead of time.
Okay.
Yeah, so that would be
good. I'll just trust you that you keep it in confidence.
Absolutely.
You know, who it's for. And.
Yep. Yeah, I got too much stuff on my plate to worry about. So I got enough projects of my own that I don't even get started, so don't worry about it.
All right.
Okay, and if you need me to send an sign an NDA or anything, there's no problem with that, okay?
Okay.
I'm cool with that. Okay, so it's 9:57 Eastern Standard Time. I'm going to call it quits for tonight unless anyone asks one quick last question. Going once. Going twice. Three times. That's it. Merry Christmas, everyone. I will be here on Wednesday afternoon at 1 this week before Christmas. So feel free to call in, and hope that if you don't call in, everyone have a great holiday. Take care. Nice talking to you again. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.